the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Hi, my name is Wilson Parks from Chamber of Horrors New York and Dead of Night, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey y'all, this is Malachi Fuller from Darkness Pines Haunted Trail. You're listening to, oh yeah, The Big Scary Show, oh yeah.
This is Russ McCamey from McCamey Manor at McLeansboro, Illinois, and you've been listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Shane Kennedy from Culsa Manor Haunted House in Roseville, California, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Erin Ellisor with The Brutal Rest Incorporated, and you are listening to Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jersey Gal from Bloodcrest Manor in Winfield, New Jersey, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
It's the dog days of summer, and with these hot, lazy days going by ever so slowly, The Big Scary Show thought we'd bring you a relaxing and soothing show so you can stick your toe in the pool and just relax and chill out and enjoy the summer.
The hell we are!
This week, we've got a crazy, heart-stopping, extreme Big Scary Show. The most extreme ever! Only a few weeks to go before haunt season opens, and the action is getting hot and heavy. We've got a Pier 6 steel cage, no disqualification, brawl for you in the squared circle. Storm is gonna be ranting something extreme in a haunt minute. The unknown scare actor is gonna be extremely well researched as he discusses legends and lore. The Haunt Rocker is spinning the extreme tunes. Badger's got your most extreme deadline news. There may be a gruesome giveaway winner. We'll see. The Round Table of Terror gets extreme as we talk extreme haunts with the owners of Darkness Pines, the Dead of Night, and the infamous McCamey Manor. It's gonna be a real slobber knocker tonight. It's not just good, it's extreme, only on The Big Scary Show!
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, it's been an extreme episode of Big Scary Show so far. Now it's time for
an Extreme Haunt Minute.
That's right. So, talking about extremes is one of the things we like to do. We want that extreme engineering, something to haunt which will just wow and be the pizzazz and go with it. But unfortunately, as haunters, we will never measure up to faucet engineers. Yes, stick with me right here. The people who make faucets for showers and that type of thing, their extreme engineering boggles my mind. And not just any faucet engineers. No, the ones who design and make the faucets for hotels. How is this possible? Because somehow, lefty loosey, righty tighty. Okay, that's how faucets work. But if you go and use a shower in a hotel, somehow they have reworked all of physics and engineering to make it work the other way. Yes, you can't go into a hotel shower or even somebody else's house and know exactly how to use a faucet. All of them are different. How are they engineering this? It's going to extremes. You walk into somebody's shower and you go to turn it on and you're not sure, am I going to be like Superman and break it off, or am I turning it the wrong way? We don't know, because every single one is different. Extreme engineering. One day, perhaps as haunters, we can hope to get to this goal of extreme engineering. But we just have to marvel as we go visit other haunts and go in somebody else's shower at how this could possibly be so different than the shower we have at home. So until next time, keep every minute extreme.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCharon, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
We're gonna kill you.
Wednesday 13th. Trick or treat, we're going to kill you on the Big Scary Show.
Every year on Halloween, that's the town where we get mean. Are you ready for the horror show? And now we're sharpening up the knives, and off we go to take your lives. Are you ready for the horror show? Give us something good to eat. And if you don't, we don't care. We'll cut off your fucking head. We're gonna kill you. We're gonna kill you. We're gonna kill you. That's what we do. We're gonna kill you. Wow. Door, you'll be lying on the floor. Are you ready for the horror show? Don't try and fight it, no one can. I'm the fucking boogeyman. Are you ready for the horror show? Trick or treat, trick or treat. Give us something good to eat. And if you don't, we don't care. We'll cut off your fucking head. We're gonna kill you. We're gonna kill you.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the most extreme deadline news. We start off with some sad news from the House on Haunted Hill in Rio, Wisconsin. The House on Haunted Hill is closing their doors for good. Due to the decline of the Wyacena Fire Department's membership and available number of volunteers, the House on Haunted Hill in Rio, Wisconsin is calling it quits after 12 years in operation. For those of you looking to add some items to your Halloween collection, this is the perfect opportunity. Items available for purchase include mannequins, animated ghouls, cemetery fencing and entrance, gravestones, a guillotine, a stockade, electric chair, fog machines, lighting, stereos, extension cords, body parts, small props, hanging props, costumes, masks, and much more. If you'd like information or would like to stop by and see what they have, contact Ray Laval at 608-429-4508. We have this news about a reboot of the movie Cujo. Stephen King's 1981 novel Cujo became a feature film in 83, centered on a rabid canine who contracted rabies from an infected bat. Directed by Lewis Teague, many consider Cujo to be one of the best King adaptations, and it's undoubtedly the ultimate killer dog horror movie. I suppose it should come as no surprise that according to iHorror.com, a remake of Cujo is on the way. The information coming courtesy of Film School Rejects. According to the site, Lang Elliott is set to direct a brand new version of Cujo, and from the sound of things, it's going to be quite a different movie. Maybe it's extreme. Being referred to as a reboot, the project currently has the title CUJO, which is an acronym for Canine Unit Joint Operation. The implication of the title is that perhaps the killer dog's origin story has been changed, making this an altered take on King's novel. It's worth noting that this remake was originally announced via press release back in 2013, but at the time, the title was simply Cujo. It seems that after 2 years, the film is finally moving forward, and a new press release indicates that DJ Perry has signed on to star. The script for CUJO is reportedly finished, and production is set to begin soon. We'll have more on this one as we learn it. We have this news from Days of the Dead Chicago. For those who've been asking, we are very pleased to officially announce the appearance of Cassandra Peterson as Elvira on Saturday, November 21st at Days of the Dead Chicago. In conjunction with her appearance, we will be offering a very special professional photo op with the Mistress of the Dark herself in full costume. We expect these photo ops to sell out very quickly, so plan ahead and do not miss out on this special opportunity. You can get more information at www.daysofthedead.net. We have some hiring news from the Creamy Acres Night of Terror in Mullica Hills, New Jersey. We are hiring our 2015 20th season acting staff. Applicants will not be required to audition. The following dates are for meet and greet interviews only. Please fill out an application on our website now to get a spot. Come out and join your favorite haunted house August 6th, 10th, 19th, and 25th. All dates start at 7 p.m. Get paid to scare people. Fill out your application now at www.nightofterror.com. We have this from the Backwoods Haunted House in Dryden, Virginia. A lot of folks want to be a part of that great haunted house they visited last October, but have no idea where to begin. Maybe you saw an actor or creature and thought to yourself, that looks like a ton of fun. Or maybe you saw a room and set or set and thought, boy, it would be fun to help build that, or paint that, or apply makeup to that. Perhaps you have a skill or ability you want to nurture or develop. Or are you looking for a creative new hobby? If so, get off your Xbox for a night or two and join the fun. Backwoods Haunted House in Dryden is hiring. But don't show up just for those reasons. Show up because haunting is one of the most fun and unique jobs you can volunteer for out there. Wherever you are, there's a lot of fun to be had working at Backwoods Haunted House. More fun than sitting at home watching TV, that's for sure. There's nothing like being in that environment with other people who are passionate about this. Acting in a haunted house can be one of the most fun, adrenaline-pumping, and rewarding experiences out there. It really can be that great. Imagine making it your job to make people scream with terror. They're paying for it by you. But there is no doubt that some people are inclined to make better haunt actors than others. There's no way to know if it's in your blood unless you give it a try.
If you're interested in wanting to do this, please join us if you're over 16 and can help every Friday and Saturday in October. Please message us for more information. We're only needing 28 actors, so you better act fast. Message us at facebook.com/BCKWoods or get more info at backwoodsshop.wix.com/haunted house. Thanks. We have even more hiring news from the Total Terror Haunted Attraction in Moseley, Virginia. Total Terror Screen Park, located at the Chesterfield Berry Farm, is looking for volunteers. Your group can do a fundraiser by providing scare actors for the haunt. Contact Chip Wells at chip@totalterror.biz. If you or your group are interested in more information, you can visit totalterror.biz to get everything you need. Finally, we have this update to Scare LA. With only a couple of weeks to go before the doors creak open to the Pasadena Convention Center for Scare LA 2015, the massive Halloween horror show continues to roll out exciting news and surprises for fans eager to get the haunting season started. Joining the Legend of Disneyland's Hatbox Ghost Panel presentation is Walt Disney Imagineer Daniel Joseph, also referred to as an Illusioneer. Following in the footsteps of the late, great Yale Gracie, Daniel was the creative in charge of bringing the Hatbox Ghost back to Disneyland's Haunted Mansion attraction this spring as part of the park's 60th anniversary Diamond Celebration. "We couldn't be more thrilled to announce Daniel's inclusion in our Hatbox Ghost presentation," said Rick West, founder and editor of Theme Park Adventure and creative programming producer for Scare LA. "This robust and diverse presentation celebrating our love and fascination with the Haunted Mansion is going to be a must-see cornerstone for this year's Scare LA show. We are honored to have the support and partnership of Walt Disney Imagineering in this effort and cannot wait to hear Daniel's incredible story of bringing the attraction's Hatbox Ghost back from the grave. If you will, Daniel will join Disney legend Tony Baxter, along with renowned artists Kevin Kidney and Jody Daly, for a spirited discussion about the world's most famous haunted house and its most elusive residents, the Hatbox Ghost. This panel presentation will be moderated by Doug Barnes, owner and producer of the Season Pass podcast. The Legend of Disneyland's Hatbox Ghost panel presentation will take place Saturday, August 8th at 12 p.m. on the main stage, and tickets are now on sale for Scare LA 2015 at scarela.com.
Remember, folks, if you have news, email us, news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air, no matter how extreme it is.
This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find Creepy Collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, that music, of course, does signify that you are listening to the Round Table of Terror. And
And as always, the Roundtable of Terror is sponsored by Necrotic Creations. Be sure to check out their website for all the really cool stuff out there. Now, haunted houses, we love them. You wouldn't be listening to this show if you didn't love them. But there is that small, very small contingency of very dark and evil, sinister haunted houses that some of you have heard about lurking in the shadows or whatever. I would say roughly most of you have probably never been to one that they would call an extreme haunted house. You know, there are extreme haunted houses out there. Some of them get a real bad reputation. Some of them not so bad. We can all probably name one or two out there. A couple have been making the news over the last year or so. But, you know, we thought we'd put the call out and talk to some people who put out, if not an extreme haunted house, a very highly interactive haunted house. You know, most haunted houses don't allow touching. Well, the people we have on the phone with us here absolutely do allow that and encourage it in some cases. So we're going to talk extreme and interactive haunted houses tonight. And first of all, we've got a couple of guests that I want to introduce, starting with Jason Erskine, who is the owner of Darkness Pines Haunted House down in Anderson, South Carolina. Jason, you with us?
I'm here, Drew. It's great to be here. Good company. Absolutely.
And glad to have you here. Also, we have Will Puntarich from the Dead of Night attraction in Hopog, New York. Will, you there?
How's it going? I'm here.
Great to have you here. And, of course, no one's ever heard of this person before, Russ McCamey from McCamey Manor, formerly of San Diego, relocating to McLeansboro, Illinois, if I'm not mistaken. Russ, are you with us?
That's right. Absolutely. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it'll be something. And, of course, our usual bevy of gahosts. Unfortunately, Storm has been delayed. He may or may not show up tonight, so we won't get a witty anecdote off the bat from him. But we do have the unknown scare actor.
Let's talk extreme. I'm anxious to hear about this.
The Hauntstrom medalist, Jerry Vane.
Just from the pre-show comments before we start recording, I'm hearing Footloose in my head. I don't know why.
My name is Drew Badger. Poured a glass of Moscato, and I'm sitting here ready to talk extreme haunted houses. Yeah, I'm a casual drinker here. Got a little umbrella in it and everything. Anyway, I'm going to throw out the first question. This is for all of you, but I'll go one by one here. What made you guys decide to do not only a regular haunt, but move into the extreme haunt? Let's start with you, Will.
All right, so I've been working in the haunted attraction industry. It's got to be like 15 years now, and I got my start with Rich Hamp. Rich Hamp trained me in everything when it came to knowing how to scare, how to build a show, how to design a show, and then, of course, how to advertise a show. And then I went to school after House of the Living Dead shut down, and I went to school for advertising. And one of the projects in school was create something that already exists but make it different. And I was like, all right, well, I know haunted attractions pretty well, I think. So I formatted this thing called Dead of Night, which was supposed to be a traveling concept that could go to any haunted attraction in the country that wanted to do it. And I would use its space. I would use their actors, train their actors, and put on an immersive theatrical show. And this is like 2007, 2008 that I started doing this, started writing out the concept for Dead of Night. And then finally, I got to meet Marty Arominski after moving back home to New York. And he was, he had already lost a location between Hurricane Sandy and the winter and the October prior, where it was like winter and it was like snowing in October. He was getting hurt. So he was going to move Chamber of Horrors New York to Brooklyn, a different part of Long Island. And I was like, you know what? I got a space that I've been working on, and I could put your show there. And then we formed a relationship with each other, and I started doing his advertising. I was like, hey, how about trying out something different? And Marty is amazing in this way, because Marty always wants to be the purple cow, and he always wants to stand out and do things that are different. And he's so open-minded, and he's so receptive to people and their creativity. So he just went for it, and we did Dead of Night in 2013, and it was rather successful. I mean, we only had it for two nights, and we made a little over $20,000 in those two nights, and we were like, okay, there's something going on here. And then we did it again in 2014, and we're doing it again in 2015. So that's what made me want to do it, was just everything that was going on politically in the world, and it was a chance for me to emphasize the things that I was afraid of, and encourage people to educate themselves on social topics. So Dead of Night is very much a socially themed show. I talk about things that most people won't talk about, and I do things most people won't do to convey a message. And that's how it started.
Cool. How about you, Jason? How did Darkness Pines go from a regular haunt to having an additional extreme section?
Well, I guess, you know, we started out, like we said, 2006. It was black plastic and Walmart pumpkins. And then I was deployed in 2007 to Afghanistan, and I told my wife again and again, I was like, man, when I get back, we're really going to sink a lot in this. We're going to make a go of this. We're going to do it right. And got back in 2008, ran up until 2011, and then I took 11 off, and I sat back and I said, what can I do differently? What can I do differently? And I'm not going to lie, I've seen some McKimmy Manor videos, and I said, man, that's awesome. Now, I'm not going to do that to people, you know, but I can do this to people. And so we kind of experimented with it a little bit, and people said, man, this is awesome. You should do this more. You should do this more. So we got rid of all the Hollywood stuff. No more Jason's, Freddy's, Michael Myers. I'm the biggest fan in the world of all the Hollywood stuff. I love it, but, you know, just not here. It's we try to do our own thing. And then we said, well, let's throw this out there and see if people want to do it. So for the last 3 years, we've had the Extreme Tour, and it's gotten a little more brutal each year because, you know, at first we started out, well, we'll just do this. And then it was, well, we'll do this and that. And then, you know, before you know it, you got somebody upside down, you know, hold them in a vat full of maggots, and, you know, you're laughing and screaming, and you're like, well, what do we do next? So it just keeps going, you know, keeps going. And we've had no issues with it. We've had no injuries. We're real careful about everything we do. We take our time. We don't do anything to a customer that hasn't been done to one of us. And it's fun. You know, we really enjoy it, and they enjoy it. And, you know, we do offer both. So it's not like we're forcing you to do that. You're paying extra, and you're signing up to do that. So, you know, it just evolved just like anything else, I guess.
Very, very cool. How about you, Russ? How did McKimmy Manor get so dang controversial?
No, I don't know. It just kind of happened. It's just a natural progression. I've always tried to do something out of the box. Even, you know, 14 years ago when I was first at this location, I was still trying to make it theatrical and kind of a movie-like experience. That's my goal. I'm very cinematic in my vision, and, you know, hopefully that's how my movies come across, and that's how I want the audience to feel when they go through the haunt. So even way back yonder, it was still something different. But just like the other guys are saying, every year you got to kind of keep upping the ante because that's what they expect. You can't go backwards. And so one thing leads to the next, and pretty soon you got an extreme haunt, but which is always what I wanted to do anyways. I just love all the interaction. I don't like something where it's just kind of sit back and watch somebody else go through it. My goal is to have that person, you know, live their own horror movie for as long as they're in there. And sometimes, as we know, it's not very long, but we want them to really experience something unique and different. And, you know, you can't just show up to it. It's people think that, you know, because they've all seen the movies and they think it's just too much. But it's not like the average Joe can just walk up and say, I want to go. You've got to be selected. You've got to go through a large screening process before you get picked up. You've got to have a letter from your doctor, both psychologically and medical-wise, saying that you're okay to do this. You have to have a background check before you go in, because I've got a lot of loons, crazies out there, my little lovely haters, and they try to sneak into the shows and disrupt, and, you know, I've got all that stuff going on as well. So I've got to be very careful. So my audience knows exactly what they're getting in for, and even after they go through all that rigmarole with getting selected and going through the process, I still may not select them because I'm looking for very specific types, people that I think can actually have a chance at making this, because we don't want to put on this gigantic show, you know, lasted for 8 hours, for someone that's going to last for 3 minutes, because we're doing this all for dog food. I mean, that's the price of admission for this $500,000 haunt is four cans of dog food or a bag of dog food. So obviously we're doing this purely for the love of the haunt and for the love of the fans and trying to give them something special. It's not about the money. It never has been. Although that has changed, and we can talk about that later. But, you know, we're going to try to make some money from now on. But for all these years, it hasn't been an issue. But so it's just a natural progression. It just grows, and it makes it, you know, fun for us, fun for the audience. And it's just, you know, that's kind of where it goes, I guess. Yeah.
It's fascinating because it seems that all of a sudden your name has been just exploding over the last, say, year, and even in the last few weeks even I've seen on the social medias, can you survive this haunt? There's a 20,000-person waiting list. No one's ever made it through alive, or no one's ever completed.
Two days ago, I had four friends tag me in a post about coming to check you guys out. Dude, we got to make a road trip to San Diego. I'm like, they're moving, dude. Oh, crap, I just thought about this.
Yeah.
What are the myths? What are the truths? Is it 8 hours? Has anybody ever made it? Is it true that there's 20,000 or more people on a waiting list? That seems to be the three that everyone seems to bring up over and over again.
So here's the scoop. So it takes place here at five different locations. Now it's going to be four locations in our new town, but here it was Zone A was the main portion, and then Bravo, Charlie, Delta, and then the new location was across the border. So you needed a passport for that portion of it. We had a warehouse rented out in Tijuana, and that's why the people needed to have their passport. They couldn't figure it out, but that's the reason why. So, and we never know where you're going to go, because we have a little deal, and some of you probably know about this, that as the haunt goes through, as it's happening, it's being live fed, live streamed to Las Vegas. So we never know where or what we're going to be asked to do. We're in contact with the controller from the Vegas location. They let us know what they want to see, what zone to go to, what stunts to do. So as actors, we have to be really on our toes because we don't know where we're going. You know, we just don't know. It's based upon what they want to see, within reason. I'm still the safety guy, so if they're asking for something that we can't do, then we don't do it. But otherwise, yeah, it's kind of up in the air as far as how it's going to work out. So I don't know if that's going to happen in the new location. I don't know if we're going to get Vegas back online again. I hope so, because that was awesome, even though we didn't make any money, but the Greyhound Society made a lot of money from that. So obviously they're gambling on the situation, which makes it pretty interesting. So there's that happening. The waiting list right now, as of last year, was over 27,000. I have no idea what it is now. I can't really control it any longer. So at last count, that's about roughly what it was. And everything you see in here is basically true. You know, what you're seeing in these movies, there's nothing staged. That's not actors playing the part. That is legit. Again, this is not for everybody. Just the average Joe should not come here. When I tell people, you really don't want to do this, I am dead serious. I mean, that is the honest to goodness truth. Don't come here. Don't do this. I mean, you've seen the movies. You know what's going to happen. Why would you put yourself through that? That's ridiculous. But they still try. And yes, nobody has ever made it all the way through, not even close. And the kind of people we get are Navy divers, a lot of military, a lot of Marines, law enforcement. We get some celebrities. We get the rough and tumble bikers with the tattoos and the big beards and the MMA fighters, and they all come out crying like little girls, every single one of them. And the only way to get out of this thing, and people don't, and this is what causes a big ruckus as well, is that we don't have a safe word. There is no safe word. This is McCamey Manor. Forget the flipping safe word. You're going to get out when and if I let you out. It's my decision and my decision only. Now, what does it take to get out? You have to either mentally or physically have a breakdown. You either physically cannot move anymore, or you continually pass out, or there's a danger involved because physically you've got hyperthermia and you can no longer function, or you mentally just crack. That's the only way that you're going to get out. That's why I tell people, don't do this. You really don't want to do this. So that's all legit stuff. It's all legit. There is nothing fake about it. So, you know, that's why it's kind of different, and that's why we only bring in two people for those 8 hours so we can really focus on them, and our actors are really good. We're all ex-military, and we know how to break people. And in every area of the different locations, we have things called breakers. Breakers are guaranteed contraptions that will absolutely make you lose your mind. And maybe I'll tell you about one. Maybe I should. Do you want to know about one specifically? Okay. So I don't care if people hear about this because we're still going to have this at the new location, but I just want to give you an idea of what a breaker is. So everybody knows what the Harry Houdini water chamber is, right? Y'all know what that is?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. For those of you folks out there that don't, it's the one where it's a large chamber about 6 feet tall, filled with water. It's where Harry Houdini would get lifted by his ankles, and you'd be put inside upside down. They'd place a sheet over it, and then magically you'd be, you know, he'd escape, and voila. Well, we do ours a little bit different. Before you go into that, if you're selected to go, you may not be selected even. It depends upon Vegas, what Vegas wants. But what's going to happen then is you're going to be in this dark room. You're going to be already disoriented and already shaky, because this is after 2 or 3 hours. You're already a mess. And everything is a game with McCain Manor. So you work with your partner. You guys have to work together. Everything is a decision. If you make the wrong decision, then you have consequences. So everything's like a truth or consequence game show inside the manor. So long story short, you're going to spin the wheel, see how long it says to do something. It may say 10 seconds. It may say a minute and 20 seconds. So in this particular contraption, ours is about 8 feet deep, and there's a lot of rock and a lot of coral on the bottom of this contraption. And there's a reason for that. It's salt water inside as well, cold salt water, and it's all rotating, it's all being filtered, it's all good. So let's say you spin the dial, it says 40 seconds. Okay, we're now going to strap you up within a straitjacket. Now you got a straitjacket on. All you've got on is a pair of swimmer's goggles and a light attached to your head. You're wondering what the hell's going on. And again, you're already wiped out by that time. Now we have a contraption that lifts you up by your ankles. We're now going to put you inside this very claustrophobic, see-through coffin. And that alone will make anybody lose their mind because it's freezing cold. If you've ever been upside down in water, it automatically goes through your nose and makes you feel like you're drowning. But if you get through that, we'll then lower you into the chamber, and all you've got on is that little light and your goggles, and you're looking at all the silt going by because you can see it's pitch black. You're freezing, and we have inside as a nice little addition to our chamber, inside the coral and rock, we have 6 live moray eel.
Oh, shit.
Now, these little moray eel, one of them, his name's Hermie, and you'll see him eventually. I don't show that because people will freak out. If they see that, they're going to give me so much grief. Plus, I like to keep things secret. But anyway, so Hermie's about 6 foot. He's a big boy. Now, if you've ever been around moray eel, they look nasty. They're fine, but they breathe with their mouth open, and they have really sharp teeth, and they love the light. They come around that light like nobody's business. And if you want to see a grown man throw a hissy fit and cry and lose his mind, put him in there. That's why nobody can make it. Nobody will ever make it because we have too many of those breakers throughout the haunt. And all it takes is just go into one of those breakers for a little bit of time, and you will lose your marbles. So that's why the toughest guys that go through all come out like a bowl of jelly, every single one of them. No one's ever going to make it unless we let them.
Wow.
That's just the way it goes.
I've got to ask, Jason. I know you don't, you know, have live moray eels or anything, but what are some of the examples of what you do to make yours quote unquote extreme?
Well, one example would be up until this past year, we did actually have snakes, and before anybody says anything or anybody complains, I care more about my animals than I do, you know, anything else. So I never put my animals in a situation where they'll get hurt, but we do have live rats. We had snakes. We have all kinds of bugs, you name it, a different variety that will crawl all over you. But a few things we do, for instance, last year we have a electrical engineer that works with us, and I actually came upon an electroshock therapy system from a mental hospital some years back. And we actually had him check that thing out, take a close look at it, make sure it was perfectly safe. We tested it on each other, tested it. We make sure that the person who is going to get this has no heart problems, doesn't have a pacemaker, doesn't have a hearing aid, anything like that. And we know we've got him pre-selected before we ever, you know, because they poll them up front when they're signing their paperwork and all that stuff and, you know, things of that nature. We already know our one of our main guides, Malik. He's pretty much him and Jebediah Biscuit are three of our main guides that carry people through these extreme tours, and they know exactly who's going to do what 9 times out of 10. They've already got the fears of these people. They already know who's scared of what, who doesn't like water, who doesn't like this, who doesn't like that. So we would get somebody in, hook them up to that electroshock therapy system, and ask them questions that they could possibly not know the answer to. And, you know, we'd ask them, what was Malik's favorite color? What was Grandma's favorite type of car? And they'd be like, I don't know, zip. You know, we'd shock them a little bit. And they really got a kick out of that because they couldn't believe it. They thought we'd hooked them up to one of those old-timey belly pads that's got the little needles in it, you know, the ab crunchers. They, you know, they were just like, I can't believe you're shocking me. I can't believe you're shocking. And then we'd take them from that. We'd take them into a barber shop. Now, this is stuff we're not going to do again this year. That's why I don't mind, you know, telling you all this stuff because we have new events this year. But we take them into the barbershop next, and we had a hair type, or just about any hair type, hanging on the wall behind you that you could not see that would match anybody's hair. And believe it or not, this is the one that we actually had to restrain people. We would make them think that we literally cut their hair. We'd take the scissors, give them a cut, and we'd show them that hair right there, and they would flip out. Now, luckily, they're handcuffed. You know, the police issue handcuffs. We have them all cuffed, so they can't get out of that. And then from the barbershop, we take them around the corner, and we have several different insect boxes. And in those insect boxes, you know, you're going in one way or the other. If we have to put you in there, if you go in voluntarily, and it just went on from there. You know, we exposed you to the rats, the snakes, and of course, you know, the whole time our actors are very, very physical with them. You know, we manhandle them and we take them where we want them to go. And I mean, these people enjoy it. You know, it's like I said, it's nothing like what Russ does, which, you know, that is awesome. But there's no way we could do that here. It's just it'd be impossible for us to take that long. So we have to kind of cram it into a shorter time period. But it's not near as extreme as what we're hearing with the eels. But, you know, for our area and down this way, and I think we are one of the only ones that do offer an extreme tour. So we're getting there.
You sound crazy. See, I would never use electricity, so you're more extreme than me. I'm a wimp compared to you because I don't deal with electricity, man. That scares me. But we do the haircut thing, and we started out doing what you do with the fake hair until somebody yanked my chain. You know, one of my fans said, "Yeah, you're not really cutting hair." Well, okay then. I guess it's time. So now we for sure cut hair. And I don't care if you're a woman with hair down to your butt, you're going to come out bald, you know, so it doesn't matter. And they know
that. Wow.
And you're right. You want to see them freak out? Yeah, strap them in. And then what we do is we have the other contestant cut their hair, but they're going to get their hair cut, They're going to get their eyebrows cut. Yeah, yeah. They're going to have a big old M shade in the back of their head. Yeah. So, you know, that's caused a lot of uproar. And then we use all the snakes and scorpions and spiders and bugs crawling in their mouth as well. And we have wranglers for all that stuff. I don't mess with them. I don't like that kind of – I don't like bugs and stuff. So we have our little, you know, animal wranglers to take care of all those rascals, the scorpions and tarantulas and stuff. But, yeah, because Russ is smart. Russ would never, ever go through this haunt. I built it. I know what scares me. I built it because it scares me. These are my fears, but I'm a smart one. You would never see me go through it. No way, no how.
Well, Will, I'll get to you in just a second. We need to take a quick break from one of our very fine sponsors to play a couple of very important messages. You are listening to the Roundtable of Terror, talking interactive and extreme haunts with Jason Erskine of Darkness Pines, Will Puntarich with from Dead of Night, and Russ McCamey from McCamey Manor. We'll be right back.
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, make Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
And we're back to the Round Table of Terror, talking extreme interactive haunts with Will Puntarich, Jason Erskine, and the infamous Russ McCamey. Will, I was just going to ask you as we were coming out of the break. Oh, by the way, we want to welcome Storm to the conversation, who finally got here.
I was here the whole time. Just one-third ninja on my mother's side. No one noticed.
And damn it, he got us again. But Will, what makes the Dead of Night as classified as an extreme haunt?
I would say what makes Dead of Night extreme, and I don't even call Dead of Night a haunted house. I categorize Dead of Night as an interactive or immersive horror experience. The first year it was like an ambient horror experience, and then it just kept growing from there. I always have like a subtitle. This year we're a sci-fi horror experience. But what makes it extreme is probably what we do to people inside. And what makes the show so long is the illusion that you're in the show, but you're really not. For a good, like, 45 minutes to an hour, you're not actually in the show. You just think you are. You're actually on the line. I build the line into the show. So while you're waiting online, there's stuff interacting around you. And I guess the best example I'll give you 2014's example of how this works. You remember that Ebola scare that happened in 2014?
Briefly.
Does anyone remember that? Well, there was an Ebola scare. It was at least in New York, and at least all over the news there was. And people were freaking out about it. So I called the CDC, and I said, hey, we have this event going on, and there's going to be all these people here, and we'd love to do an Ebola screening. And the CDC was great to comply, and they set up their Ebola booth. And while you were waiting online, after you signed the waiver and waited a little bit more on the waiver line, you entered an Ebola screening. And we were just telling people this is just, yeah, this is protocol. We got to make sure that you're not sick or anything. But we really gave you a live Ebola screening right online. We're swabbing your mouths, and that was just to make people uncomfortable. And then immediately after that, we have a cafe area in our building that we use. So we gave people shots of Kool-Aid because last year's theme was you're joining a cult. You got invited to a Halloween party that turned out to be a cult initiation. So I was pulling from all those controversial cult topics, and we gave people a Kool-Aid shot, and we gave them a little piece of candy, it was like a Smartie, and we told them, you know, just swallow it, it's a pill. And then immediately after that, people went into an initiation ceremony where they got a mask, very like Eyes Wide Shut, kind of like elitist, ruling class. You know, they have all these weird, crazy parties and stuff. And then immediately after that, after you got your mask, you went into a black room, and then all of a sudden, these strobe lights turned on and dance music turned on, and then there was girls in go-go cages, and they were dancing. There was a DJ, and you had to dance. And one of the rules at Dead of Night is either you do what you're told from the minute you get in or you leave, and there's no refund at all. You do, and we will fight you tooth and nail on that. You buy a ticket, that's it, because as soon as you enter, that experience has begun, and we just made people dance until they couldn't dance anymore, which was the point. I wanted them to dance to wear them down, because I don't want people making it through the show. Although I will say 90% of the people made it through last year's Dead of Night. I could not believe that they did it, because last year's Dead of Night scarred me emotionally and physically because of the things that went on inside, and I couldn't believe how far people were willing to go just to get to the end. And I thought we were making this progressively worse and worse and worse for people. But it wasn't, or at least the New York crowd is able to handle those things more. I feel bad for the people that came through Dead of Night not knowing what they were getting into, thinking it was just a regular haunted house. And despite the fact that the waiver says it's not a haunted house and these are things that are going to happen, people just tend to forget. So the things that make Dead of Night extreme are probably our topics that we talk about, the wraparound topic, and the things that we do inside, which is, you know, we make you do some really horrendous things. Best example I can give, 2014's Dead of Night, there was a room in this cult initiation, and we made you swap partners and kiss each other. And now a married couple came through in a group of two, and a single couple, like a boyfriend and girlfriend, came through in a group of two. And my jaw hit the floor when they just started making out with each other. And they followed orders, and that's what really blew my mind, is like, wow, people will do these things, and they will be coerced into it, because by the time they got to that room, we had already beaten them down mentally and instilled in them that you either do what you're told or you're out. So they were competing with themselves to see how far they would go. We got a lot of women that women love Dead of Night, which is surprising. Men don't like Dead of Night because of the things we make men do to each other, and a lot of our staff are women, so they feel very empowered. And last year we hired a lot of dominatrixes, and we were doing things to people that they probably never thought they would do. But overall, the reaction towards Dead of Night is mostly positive. The few times that we've had negative feedback were from people that just didn't realize it wasn't a haunted house or a casual haunted house that they're used to. So, yeah, the topics that we do and the things we make people do inside is what make us quite extreme. And again, we're really theatrical. It's not just, you know, people running around and you know, getting boo scares and then getting touched. It's like you follow a very loose storyline. And last year's storyline was you are joining a satanic sex cult. And the first year's storyline was what if you were living in a police state? And we also built a line into that as well. And we made people wait while they were watching this very 1984 Apple computer commercial video, just being told over and over again how much they're loved and how much they're cared about. And on screen, we had pictures of videos of puppies and babies, and superimposed over that was police beating people and people getting their heads cut off. And we were superimposing Illuminati symbolism over everything. And that was the real reason I got into Dead of Night, because I watched this movie called Zeitgeist in college, and it screwed me up so bad for a year that I was like, oh, my God, I'm awful now. But then I turned it into this thing that we do, and I've continued it to now. And this year, we're doing something that is, and Russ probably knows all about this, being a military guy. You guys ever hear of MK Ultra?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we are going to simulate and do those experiments that the U.S. government did on unwilling unwilling participants, and we are going to give people the opportunity to experience what it is really like to be brainwashed, what the CIA did to people in the United States and Canada when they were conducting MKUltra. And those are just things that I find actually frightening, because we don't really know if MKUltra is over or not. You know, you have all those mass shootings that go on and the conspiracy theories that go on around them. All that stuff still comes back down to MKUltra and creating a Manchurian candidate, someone who will follow any order just by hearing some sort of cue. And that's what I'm talking about for Dead of Night. But I loop it around this sci-fi thing, and we're going to do the Ganzfeld experiment. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but that's when you have a ping pong ball and you have someone laying down in a comfortable position, and you put the ping pong balls over their eyes and you put a red light over them and you play white noise, and you actually start to hallucinate. Now, I test everything out before I do it, and I've done the Ganzfeld experiment more than once, and as far as, like, experimenting with, like, LSD and stuff, I won't get into if I have or not, but I can tell you that the simulation you're going to go through is 100% accurate of what you would feel if you were on those things. And then you get thrown into a psych ward, which is going to be part of our 2015 attraction for Chamber of Horrors, and you're going to get told that you've been there the entire time, and you have to escape. And from there, it's just going to get worse and worse, and you will not leave Dead of Night not covered head to toe in blood. And loosely around Dead of Night as well, is like one of my favorite authors is H.P. Lovecraft, so I love incorporating H.P. Lovecraft into things. So there's a lot of references to him, there's a lot of references to actual government mind control experiments, and I just do those things so people know that, yeah, these things happen, and there's a lot more to be afraid of than just clowns and werewolves and zombies. And there, you know, those things are great, they're boring in a lot of ways, and this stuff really happens. So just based on that, that's what makes it extreme. That's what makes Dead of Night controversial, that I'm willing to touch on things that a lot of people won't. So that's my answer to that.
That's very interesting. I have one question for you, Will. Like you said, you do all the stuff yourself before you actually do it.
Yep.
Okay. And I know Russ. I know you don't. You said it yourself. You never go through. So.
No. That's what I have crazy actors for. So.
You know. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I like to either myself or top staff. We do it. You know, we do it to one another just to make sure. And like I said, man, you guys got an awesome show. And I would never do McKimmy Manor. Will, I would love to check yours out. I know I couldn't do McKimmy Manor. My head's already shaved, but that'd be the easy part for me. Good Lord.
You could come to New York anytime and try Dead of Night out.
Yeah, same here. Mine's just, you can ask Drew. He's been down here. It's just backwoods, good old boys. You know, you just turned yourself over. You know, the sheep ain't here no more. It's banjo music, whatever. You know, that's what we got going on.
Do you do like a delivery?
I heard banjo music driving in.
it's not a deliverance theme per se, but it is that is the culture here. I mean, it's a backwoods family, and, you know, it's just a bunch of inbred and we have a whole storyline behind it and everything, but that's kind of what we go for. It's like, you know, certain parts of the haunt itself look like it was built by, you know, some inbred rednecks. A lot of stuff that we want it to look here. You know, it's not fancy. It's not a techno club. We want it to look like a place when you walk into it. All the stuff you threw in the dump ended up hanging on our walls here.
How many of your people are actually actors?
What's that?
I question how much of it's actually acting.
Well, I've
been through the Electric City before. No offense.
Well, you know, he said something about the sheep aren't there anymore. That's because they're afraid of Badger.
Notice I don't wear wool.
Do you guys do you ever experience like people that are? I know Russ has. I know Russ can weigh in on this. But do you ever experience at your extreme haunt people that you've just screwed up so badly that they won't leave you alone after?
No,
yeah, well,
I've never.
What happens is, you know, people get so messed up psychologically, which I never intended, and I actually feel bad about that. This is just a show. It's just entertainment. It's just smoke and mirrors, but it's also very real. And when I talk to them months down the line and find out that they're having all this anxiety from the manor still, or what they perceive as PTSD, that freaks me out, because that's not what I ever intend. I never want to have them going away with that. But, you know, that's why I had to change the rules with saying, all right, we need to have a medical letter from your doctor and your psychologist saying this is okay, because people sneak into the manor that shouldn't be here. Because safety really is paramount, and I am, you know, I know all the crazy things we do, but no one's ever been hurt in all these years. That's for a good reason, but people still try to wiggle their way in, ones who shouldn't be here. And I feel bad that thinking that what we did has mentally wiped them out a little bit, and that's not my goal at all. And so if that's one thing I'm kind of remorseful about, is that. Because
I feel the same way, and I have a very similar circumstance where a very, very nice gentleman went through Dead of Night with his family. This is like his wife and his kid. Well, no, his wife didn't go in, but he went in with his kids. But after, the day after he came, this was probably the night that things went too far. At least for me, they went too far. And it wasn't our actors that went too far. It was the people that were going through Dead of Night, because maybe someone, you know, told, like, an S&M community that this was happening. And we started getting a lot of freaky people coming through that were getting really into everything. Before you know it, people were walking out of Dead of Night willingly, almost nude, and wanting to be like that. And there was one man that came through not knowing what he got himself into. The next day, he was like, I would like the waiver. He came back to the place where we do it. He's like, I want the waiver. And I was like, yeah, dude, you can't do that. You know, the waivers go somewhere else. And, you know, you did read it, and you did say on camera that you were okay with going through it. And he's like, no, that's fine. It's just there was language in the waiver that really bothered me. And I was like, well, which part? And he's like, the part where I sold my soul to the devil. And I was like, oh, God, I totally forgot that I put that in the waiver. I put it right at the end.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it's just a joke. It's just like, yo, man. But he turned out to be a very Catholic man. And I was like, how far did you make it? And he was like, I made it to the very end. I was like, why did you keep going? Because, you know, right after we kidnapped people in Dead of Night, especially last year, right after you were done dancing, the lights went off, strobe lights went on, and five dudes, big dudes in hazmat suits and gas masks come and black bag you. And they are very, very forceful, and they pick you right up. Even if you're the biggest guy, you're getting taken in by these guys, whether you like it or not. And I've seen the biggest men, as soon as something like this happens, just fall to the floor because they are in shock that it's happening. But immediately when we put you in a Dead of Night, now bear in mind, this Dead of Night theatrical, it's themed. And last year was very, very, very much themed like a B-horror movie, very cheap Satan. That's what I like to call that. As soon as you got put in the first room, you were thrown on the floor, and we took a pool noodle, like a foam pool noodle, and we just started whacking you in the head with it and telling you to denounce God and say you love Satan. And every single person did it, which means that guy did it, and he had an opportunity to say, no, I don't want to do this. This is not okay. But he went through it and continued to go through it to the very end. And in between the beginning and the end, there are things that went on in that night that I will just not talk about at all ever. And I can't talk in private. I'll talk to you guys about it, but not in front of anybody. But I couldn't believe that he went through the entire thing. And it scarred him so much that to this day, it's got to be like once a month I get a phone call from him. And he tells me all about the night terrors that he has and how it's affecting his marriage, and I feel horrible about it. And I just have to keep reassuring the guy that, listen, it's not anything big. Eventually I had to tell a white lie and tell him that it was one of those Christian hell houses, and it made him feel better. But he was like, why did you do those things to people? It's like, no, you got it wrong, sir. Why did you allow those things to happen to you? Because Dead of Night's all about choice. You can leave anytime you want. I would never keep anybody there against their will. But if you willingly push yourself forward, it's not us, the creators and the writers of the show that are twisted. It's you that had the issue, always, probably altogether. And I haven't heard from him this month, and hopefully I won't have to hear him, but from last year to last month, I still hear from this man. And I take his call anytime he wants. I'm very kind to him. He knows me by an alias. He doesn't know my real name. And hopefully he's not going to hear this. But we still got one crazy dude that still contacts me. So, but I would imagine for you, Russ, that
that reminds me of my guy, the one I feel bad about. This guy is a psychologist who actually deals with people. So he has clients. That's his job. And so you'd think he'd know better. You'd think that he'd be able to, fathom all that happened to him. But this thing has really messed him up to a degree of, like, I feel really bad about this, to where he wanted to stop the business. He did not want to be in the psychology business any longer. He was going to basically drop out of everything, and we had to talk to him forever to try to get him to see that it's okay. I had to show him things, had to walk him through stuff to show him that it's all right, and hopefully continue on with his studies and working with people. And in fact, he's the guy that's going to be a guest at the Scare LA in this August 8th and 9th in Los Angeles. There's a program or a convention called Scare LA. And for you guys out in Los Angeles, come to it. It's great. It's in Pasadena. It's fantastic. All the haunts are out there. All the interactive stuff. You can see a ton of cool, cool things. You can actually go through and visit these different haunts. Now, the funny thing is that they allowed all of these interactive haunts to be there and do like a mini version, but they wouldn't allow McCamey Manor to be there. So
that's wild. That's wild. Because you got that guy from, I don't know, his name Adrian Marcato? He does Heretic Haunted House.
Well, I know the name. I don't know him personally, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I hear all sorts of screwy things with his show. I think the work he does is beautiful. Like, his artwork is amazing.
Right.
And he seems like a really intelligent and passionate person. But I always hear underground rumblings about his show.
Well, his is very underground. His is not legit in the sense that it's authorized. He just goes from hotel room to hotel room until they find out that he's there, and then the authorities get called, and then he bolts, and then he goes someplace else. So that's how he works it. He's like Blackout in the sense that, you know, Blackout can work in a basement or a back of, you know, they'll brag that they can do their back Blackout tour in a back of a van. You know, and for this show at Scare LA, in fact, we're going to be on this extreme panel. So if anybody's in the area, come down and visit us. We're going to be doing this panel August 8th. It's going to be myself. It's going to be Blackout guys again and the guys from Nevada, the Gates of Hell. And we did this panel a couple of years ago, and it caused a lot of big ruckus and stuff. So they're bringing us back to do it again, but they're bringing back survivors. So each one of us is bringing back a particular survivor to tell their story. And I'm bringing back this doctor of mine because they wanted a doctor to explain why would anybody ever do this. And I just so happen to have a psychologist who went through it and who's totally jacked up from it at the same time, and which I feel bad about, you know. But if anybody's out there, come take a visit to Scare LA this August. It's the fun times for all. But yeah, I never meant that to happen, and others have told me the same thing, that they're still affected, nightmares, night terrors. Damn, come on. It's showbiz. This is just a play. It's showbiz.
Yeah, well, you know, Russ, I'll always say, you are absolutely the William Castle of extreme Halloween. You are you definitely, you're a showman, and I admire that. I absolutely admire Will Castle, and I know you and I talk about him in length with each other, but, like, that's, you know, Will Castle was, like, doing this stuff way before anybody. He was the guy who was making movies 3D before they were really 3D.
Absolutely.
He was the guy that was like, you know, horror needs a gimmick or it just doesn't work. And it's true. It's absolutely true.
There's a great, for all you folks listening out there, if you don't know who William Castle is, there's a fantastic documentary all about him. It's about 4 years old. It's really well done. and it goes through his whole life and all the gadgets and all the cool things he did. So for all you haunters, look up the documentary about William Castle. It's fantastic. Take a look at it.
Spine Tingler, that's the name of it.
Yeah, Spine Tingler. There you go. There you go. Exactly.
Well, since you guys were talking about, you know, some of the experiences that happened with your shows, with psychological, has there been any injuries in any of the haunts that?
No.
No.
I've never had any.
So they all basically come out scrambled.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They all basically came out scrambled.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Denonite ruins a lot of people mentally. But you know what? There's a silver lining with Denonite. We had a couple go through that didn't know each other, and we separated them from the original group. And now they're dating each other, and they're getting engaged and stuff. So they met each other through Denonite. So that was they view Denonite as a very positive thing in their life.
And you're a matchmaker.
I guess you know. And we were gonna do it.
Match.com. I can see it now.
Haunt.com is a great idea. That is an amazing idea. We were gonna do an off-season show this year called Dead of Night Blind Date, and I wrote that show because I was going through a really bad breakup, and there was a scene in the show that the town found out about, and they were like, "You can't do this," and I was like, "Oh, bummer." Well, the whole show was about separating people from their partner and having, you know, in a clandestine way, them meeting other people, and I wanted to see what that kind of reaction would be, but there was a certain scene in the show that the town wouldn't fly with, and they were like, "You're absolutely not going to do this." And I was like, "Okay, we're absolutely not going to do this." And
the
we didn't do it. But
damn extreme haunts, nice. Forget
now,
Christian Mingle. We got Scramble Brain Mingle, nice.
I've got a question for the guests. We are going to have to wind this down. We're coming up on almost an hour so far. But my question to all three of you is, is it worth, I mean, I think what you guys do is amazing. Is it worth the threat of the lawsuit? I mean, I know you guys have waivers and stuff, but there's always that chance that somebody's going to try to sue you. Is what you do worth that?
Ooh, good question. All right, I live in New York, so people are always too happy. I've learned in the time that from being an advertising student and getting chummy with all my lawyer friends in the apartment building I was living with in New England, that people will just sue you for anything, and whether it's your haunted house or not, whether you use a traditional haunt, someone could sue you for just like them getting a stubbed toe and it getting infected. So you can get sued for about anything, and we've never had an experience where someone said they were going to sue us, because right before you go in, you're pretty much told what's going to happen to you. I kind of spill the beans of everything. So it's like, there's really no way you, like, and we get you on camera, we get your waiver, and you hold the waiver up to the camera, and we know that you know that you're doing something that you're totally willing to do. And like Russ does, you know, we say, "Are you sure you want to go through with this?" And they say, "Absolutely." You could sue anybody for anything. I could get off the phone and be mad at all of you and sue you guys for slander, and it didn't even happen. So it's risk-reward. There's really no risk because you can get sued for anything no matter what. As long as someone has the time and effort and the money to pay a lawyer, you'll get sued for it, and you wouldn't have had to even do anything wrong. But in New York State, as far as I understand, they honor waivers here, and if you sign a waiver in New York State, because we have skydiving and stuff out here, and you have to sign a waiver for that, but we have an insurance policy that fits our show, and we've never had that problem with getting sued. I don't know if that's the same for the other two.
I went through the gates of hell here in Vegas.
I've never been sued in all these years, but, you know, same thing like Will. Everybody knows exactly what's going to happen. The women all know that if they're selected, even though they come in with golden lock, long hair down to their backs, they could lose their hair. They could come out bald with no eyebrows. They all know that. But, you know, even though they know that, it doesn't mean the reality of it doesn't hit until they actually start getting their hair cut. So everything about it is very real. No one's been hurt. People have tried to cause trouble with us. I mean, they're always causing trouble. Like, the latest thing is the town we're going to right now, McLeansboro. It has blown up into an insane asylum. The people are already threatening to burn us down, to kill us. It's like Footloose the horror movie. It's incredible. All last night, I had the most violent conversation, not me personally, but just them. The city was so violent and hostile to me. It was absolutely incredible. Now the whole news out there is covering it. Helicopters are flying over today. It's going to be all over the Midwest. So you guys let me know what you hear about it. But
crazy.
It's insane. I thought people would be nice out in that area, but not so much. But it's pretty amazing. But so far, knock on wood, you know, and we film everybody at every second of their adventure. So everybody knows what's going on, and it's really hard for them to come back and say that something happened when it really didn't happen, because we have proof. We had a guy who claimed that we broke his face, his orbit, his eye, fractured this, fractured that. He went and got his medical documentation. Sure enough, it showed that he had a broken face and all that, and claimed that we did it. He was a haunter from Texas. He owned a haunt, and we told him not to come here like everybody else. He came here. He lasted 30 seconds. And then that was it. He had such a breakdown, and he was gone. So, but he came back and said that we did all these horrible things. But again, he forgot that we had it all on film. And then later, he admitted that when he left the matter, he went to a bar, he got drunk, and got beat up. But he tried to use all that against us. So we get that kind of crazy stuff that we have to watch for. But you know, it gets pretty ugly. I mean, I'd say McKinney Manor gets the worst of any haunt out there. It's pretty amazing. So,
well, I cannot wait to work with Russ in November. That's going to be great. Like, that collaboration show is going to be fantastic. I cannot wait to do this.
It's going to be this show in New York, for those 6 nights, it's going to be one flipping wild show with Chamber of Horrors, Dead of Night, and McKinney Manor mixed into it. I mean, I can't wait. This is going to be off the chart. So, yeah, come on.
Hey, you know what? The thing that I noticed more than anything is, all right, so we're doing Dead of Night this year, and the only slack we've ever got from anybody has been other haunters, like haunted attractions and other haunters that don't like that we're doing stuff like this. And it's like, I get it. You know, to each his own. I still work at the Chamber of Horrors is a traditionally themed haunted house. You know, that's meant for everybody. But there's nothing at all wrong with offering something for people that want more. And the stigma that I think they have, and I respect the stigma that they have. I can see where they're coming from. But in the end, it just doesn't add up that they think it's going to ruin the industry. And you know what? Industries have to change, and things have to evolve. And everything that we're doing stems from something. The one night after Dead of Night, we're doing a show called Night Gone, which is an immersive dream experience, and we're teaming up with an artist, Avenue York named Kate Eldon, and she does all these crazy, crazy, crazy art installations, and the stuff that she's had people do in her art installations, we're going to have her emulate in the show Night Gone, and I'm sure people are going to freak out about that, because what purpose does art serve and haunting? And then watch Dystopia, watch people freak out about that, but the thing is, when this happens, it's for other people. There's enough of a market to make it happen, and that market's just going to continue to grow. And the more that people hate on the market, the more that people hate on what we do, they're just going to add fuel to the fire. And it won't be us that screws up, because we've done it for long enough of a time. It'll be someone new coming through that will either try to sabotage it for everybody and themselves, or they'll actually screw it up just because they're moving forward with something they don't know anything about. But that's my take on it. I think that most of the hate that interactive haunts get from people are from haunters themselves. And, yeah, I deal with that burden every day. Do the two of you deal with that?
Yeah, that's very true. I totally agree. And the thing is like, you know, it's a taster's choice. I mean, you're not forcing anybody to sign up and to come through your event. I mean, it's people that search out that stuff, and I do both. You know, the Extreme Tour, it's a small part of Darkness Pines guests that come here, but the people that do it, they love it. You know, they want to do it. We're not pushing it down their throat. You know, our regular groups of people, they choose to do that. The Extreme Tours, they choose to do that. You know, and I totally agree with you. It has been some other people in the business that have had issue with it, not necessarily the customer base.
For me, it's not so much
towns.
Although they're not happy either, but once they meet me and find out what we're all about, then they're all fine. Like at Trans World, I was told I was going to be hated down there, but it wasn't that way at all. Everybody loved what we were doing. So for me, it's mainly the crazy fan base, are the haters, we call them, and they are insane. In fact, you know, I think we were going to have, at the New York show, I think it was going to be, I think I even scared you guys off a little bit, right, Will? You want to tell them?
Well, no. Marty and I were totally cool with everything. It was the owner of the facility that showed concern because he was afraid of what soccer moms were going to think. Now, this guy runs, and he is totally within his right, and he was totally right about thinking that, which is why we reformatted everything to create an entirely new experience, because we wanted the best of both worlds, and that's what that was going to be. But his main concern was, I don't want parents thinking that we run a crazy torture chamber out of our show or out of the building. A few years back on Long Island, there was a kids' entertainment facility with trampolines and ball pits and stuff, and some moron at that place allowed people to have an S&M sex party there, and someone leaked photos, and immediately, like within a day, that place filed for bankruptcy, and people were irate. They were horrified. But at the same time, it's like, all right, great. Yeah, that's happening there, and that might offend some people. And we live in an age of sensationalism, and everyone's offended by something, and I really don't give a shit about that. And I don't care about those people's feelings. I get it, but you're just looking for something to complain about, and those are the people that ruin it. It's the overzealous parents and soccer moms that wouldn't, dare do something like this in front of people, but what they do behind closed doors is totally fine. But they're just out there to ruin the fun for everybody. But I get why that business got shut down. And that's what Matt was concerned about. And Matt owns the building that we're in. So we reformatted everything so we could accommodate Rust, the Dead of Night, and Chamber. And that's how we're going to form this trilogy of absolute horror and sickness.
I think it's going to be better with all three haunts mashed up together.
Oh, yeah. Better.
And plus, it takes the pressure off of me because it's not all about me now. So now we have all three of us throwing our two cents in and making it really cool. And now we're all involved. And I think that's rocking and rolling. So I just know it's going to be a killer show.
Yeah, and what I think is really cool about that at the same time is that I don't know if it's ever happened in the industry itself, like where three things have come together to create one thing and make it something entirely new, entirely different. Like I said earlier, what's going to separate Dystopia from other extreme haunts is that it's a competition between the people in the group, that we only want one of you coming out, and your goal going through it is to be the strongest, and we're going to pit you against each other. And it's going to be like Survivor meets Fear Factor meets McCamey Matter in Dead of Night and a regular haunted house. Because we're going to have pop scares. We're going to have actors and monster makeup just to throw people off. And it's going to be theatrical. But what's going to make it crazy is the fact that just Russ is there. And most likely we'll be filming everything. And I love that. I think that's great. And I love controversy. And controversy is important. And haunted houses will always get – you could offend anybody with anything. A severed head might roll across your feet at a haunted house. And you might be reminded of, oh, my God, I had an uncle lose his head once. I'm offended by that. It's all sensationalism, and it's all an illusion, and I think the three of us probably know that better than a lot of people that would go through a show or would put one on, that it's all smoke and mirrors.
And I will be there filming every second of it, just like I do here, up close and personal, so we're going to get some killer movies out of this as well.
That's what I'm
Excellent.
Hoping for.
Well, gentlemen, I must say that Wild, I am completely fascinated with this conversation.
Oh,
I could
yeah.
sit here all night. Our clocks are saying it is time we must wrap this up. So this is the part of the roundtable that we affectionately like to call the plugs. So get you a chance to to for people out there who are either completely repulsed or completely fascinated and want to check out one of these things themselves for websites and social media. Russ, let's start with you. How can people get more information about this move to McLeansboro, Illinois, and more information on McCamey Manor and maybe be number 27,001 on the waiting list?
Just go to McCameyManor.com, and there's a contact page, and excuse the cheesy website. I haven't updated it in like years. I don't really need to. People still get a hold of me. And then just fill out the contact page. Send me out something, and then I'll send you back a couple pages worth of information on how to do the whole process. And check out the new area, the McLeansboro, Illinois, and let them know how you feel about McCamey Manor. Get a hold of them. You know, go on Facebook and message them, because right now, again, it's blowing up. And the more they hate me, the more I want to come down there. It's going to be great. I'm going to be at Scare Los Angeles August 8th and 9th. And, of course, we're going to be at the big show in November for 6 shows. Can't wait for that one. It's going to be crazy, dystopia. And I just signed a television deal, a development deal. They're going to do a film. Well, they're going to do a pilot first, and hopefully pick it up for a series. And that's going to happen at the new location, too. It's going to be a challenge show. I'm going to be co-hosting it on air along with this comedian. So I'm not sure how that's going to work exactly. But anyways, we just signed that. And so hopefully you'll be seeing that sometime in the near future, too, if I have a place to do the hunt.
Very cool. Jason, how about yourself? How can people in the upstate of South Carolina, Atlanta, Charlotte, anywhere in Columbia, anywhere in between, get information on Darkness Pines?
Well, you just have to go down that big road that's got the 85, take a right, go into the country, go by the big tree, turn it up. No, I'm just kidding.
And listen to the banjo music.
Yeah, that was terrible joke. No,
listen for squealing.
You can find us at darknesspines.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Darkness Pines. I'm very grateful to be in this conversation with these gentlemen, but I do have to say that Darkness Pines is not near as extreme as these two guys and the product that they put out there. But, you know, we are trying to get there, but we're just a bunch of backwoods inbred family members that just wait for people to come down, you know. So, darknesspines.com, man.
Well, I will say that I have probably never seen more creative uses of foam and blood at any haunt in the country than I have at yours, and I thoroughly enjoyed my experience there. How about you, Will? How can people get information?
All right, best place to get information is always go to chamberofhorrorsnewyork.com, and there is a button on there that will talk about Dead of Night, but we're going to change a little bit about that, so you can always find more information about Dead of Night, Night Gaunt, and Dystopia Horror House by going on to Facebook and just look up facebook.com/deadofnightinfo. There's a bunch of videos on there, and there's a bunch of links to both Night Gaunt, which is our new immersive dream experience happening in November, and Dystopia, which is the show that's going to take... That's like the new world order of haunted houses. If there were a new world order of haunted houses, that's what Dystopia is. It is going to be a dystopian universe for people for about an hour and 45 minutes. So if you want information, chamberofhorrorsnewyork.com or facebook.com/deadofnightinfo.
Well, gentlemen, I am really almost at a loss for words. I'm a bit agape here between talking about moray eels and live maggots and things.
Haircutting.
Yeah. One must be.
You'd fail on that
one.
You'd come out bald, boy.
Jim has nothing to worry about.
That's
We're
right.
not talking about Jim.
I know. But anyway,
I have hair.
I will say extreme haunts are not for everybody. But they're certainly for somebody. Otherwise, there wouldn't be as many people talking about it, going to them, getting on waiting lists. You know, there are extreme haunts all over the country, but if you get the opportunity and you ain't too scared, you might want to check one of these out. We want to thank once again Russ McCamey, Will Puntarek, and Jason Erskine for being our guest. We are going to get all three of you back on the show really, really soon because we barely scratch the surface in this conversation. And I also want to thank the hosts, including Storm,
I'm just trying to picture the look on my doctor's face if I gave him a waiver, fill this out. You want to do what?
The unknown scare actor.
The moray eels have my curiosity piqued.
You come down and visit me, and I will give you a face-to-face introduction. Not a problem.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
The Hauntster medalist, Jerry Vane.
I've been through the extreme haunt here in Vegas, the Gates of Hell, and that is walking through Mr. Rogers' neighborhood compared to what I just heard.
It's more like Mr. Robinson's neighborhood.
No, Rogers, close enough.
My name is Drew Badger saying, Russ, I will see you at Scare LA because I'm also teaching a class on August 9th at 11 o'clock. Check scarela.com.
Oh, these shameless plugs. Good grief.
Once again, you're listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show.
I'm going to throw a bottle of glue on the torch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break from all the extreme action going on this week to see if we have a winner for the July Gruesome Giveaway sponsored by Screamline Studios. You know how this works? Last show we had a great little question. The answer was in the show. Of all the entries we received, we picked one at random. We've got a potential winner on the phone right now. Potential winner, what is your name? Where are you located?
Jason Brocke, located in Groves, Texas.
Groves, Texas, East Texas. Very, very nice. I got cousins that live a couple of hours from you in Wharton there. So not too far from Houston where HauntCon was. So very cool. Welcome, Jason. You know how this works. I'm going to ask you a question here in just a second. I do have to ask you a couple of quick legal questions before we find out if you're the winner. Number one, have we contacted you in any way, shape, or form other than to tell you when to call in?
No.
Excellent. Second question, have you tried to influence us in any way, shape, or form?
Absolutely not.
Well, you did write pick me on your entry, but we didn't even read that, so that's okay. We don't count that. Board of directors said that was just fine. So, anyway, Jason Brocke from Groves, Texas. Let's see if you know the answer to this. Can you name at least one festival that the Creepazoids will be playing this summer?
I sure can, and one of them is Farmageddon.
Farmageddon is absolutely correct. We also would have accepted the Guarbecue. Congratulations, Jason Brocke of Groves, Texas. You are the July winner of the Gruesome Giveaway.
That is fantastic. Awesome.
Let me ask you a quick question. Do you work at a haunt, have a yard or home haunt or anything like that in the industry?
I have worked at a local haunt here in the past, but I do a home haunt called Voodoo Necropolis. It doesn't have a Facebook page, but I do have a YouTube channel, Jay Brocke, and I do have some tutorial videos on there.
Oh, very nice. So look up Jay Brocke. That's B-R-A what?
Q-U-E-T.
B-R-A-Q-U-E-T on YouTube, and check out those videos. Sounds cool. Well, Jason Brocke, if you'll hold on the line for just a second, we'll get some shipping information and get our prize out to you as a bonus. Because this is our extreme issue of the Big Scary Show this month, not only will you be getting a great prize courtesy of Screamline Studios, be sure to go to screamlinestudios.com, check out all their stuff, but you're also going to be receiving a brand spanking new copy of Jerry Vane's brand spanking new CD, The Circus of Nightmares.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Well, once again, congratulations, Jason Brocke of Groves, Texas. You are the July winner of the Gruesome Giveaway. Everybody else who didn't win, please enter again in August. And again, thank you, Screamline Studios and Jerry Vane, for providing the great prizes here for the month of July on the Big Scary Show.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left. No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of good or evil, right or wrong. I met this 6-year-old child with the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up, because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Van Helsing's Curse, Halloween, on the Big Scary Show.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
Where do some phobias come from? Is it fear of the known or fear of the unknown? Some fears are passed down from generation to generation, based on nothing but legends and lore. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
All right, Haunters, on this extreme edition of the Big Scary Show, I figured I'd take a little bit around, look for some more aggressive cryptids. And the first one that came up in my search was the Goat Man. Now, a lot of you might remember the Goat Man, Goat Man Hollow in Maryland. Well, the Goat Man's been seen in other states as well, including Louisiana and Texas. And his description is pretty much the same wherever you go. He's about 7 foot tall hybrid creature, part man and part goat. Some claim it is even a relative of the New Orleans evil chupacabra-like cryptid, the Grunch. There you go, Storm. A chupacabra called the Grunch. The urban legends of them often tell of killing young, lusting couples in parking cars or scouring neighborhoods killing family pets. There are also tales of them breaking into people's houses and raping its victims. And many attest from the areas that he haunts, it does not matter if you are a man or a woman, he will overtake you and have sex with you nonetheless. That scares me. When scared teenagers whisper about Goatman, not all agree on the form he takes. Some say he was a man who kept goats and went mad after teenagers killed his flock, driven to seek revenge against any youngster. But perhaps the most titillating version traces the origin of Goatman to the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center, a sprawling USDA facility anchored by a big brick building appointed with white columns. In this version, a mad scientist is conducting experiments on a goat when something goes horribly wrong, turning him into a half-man, half-goat beast that is naturally hungry for blood. He may not be as famous as his cryptid cousins Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster, but the Goat Man has a devoted following. The stories began surfacing a long, long time ago, according to Dr. Barry Pearson, a folklorist at the University of Maryland, which happens to be in Prince George's County and is home to the Goat Man Archive. The earliest sighting dates back to 520 BCE as the satyrs of Greek mythology, who also held an almost identical role despite 3,000 years. Interesting. That's got to be a first as far as sightings go back, the Goat Man. When I think of Goat Man, I'll go back to something as simple as Disney's Hercules with the character Danny DeVito was voicing. Philotides, the Goat Man. Anyway, I got this information off of cryptids.wikia.com, and check it out. There's a picture of an infrared picture of what looks like a goat man, as well as artist's rendering of the goat man in Maryland. So, you know, maybe not as extreme as Russ McCamey's McCamey Manor, but an extreme cryptid nonetheless.
And remember one thing, Haunters. Most legend has a basis in fact.
Shadow Symphony. The dead are watching on the Big Scary Show.
Mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears, unlimited masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
Darkest fears, unlimited.com.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. I'm putting a call out to the haunt community to help Shattered Nightmares in Terre Haute, Indiana. As many of you know, several weeks ago, Shattered Nightmares was completely destroyed by arson, and they need your help. They lost everything in the fire. Paco and crew have been working tirelessly to find a new location and rebuild. The outpouring of support that I saw at MHC from the vendors was overwhelming, but they aren't out of the woods yet. Please visit shatterednightmares.net, click on the link for the GoFundMe page, and every little bit helps, Haunters, whether it's $1, $5, $10, whatever you can do to help Paco and crew, They are going to appreciate it so much, and like a phoenix from the ashes, Shattered Nightmares will return. Thank you.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Aether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screenline Studios at ScreenlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntstrom medalist Jerry Vane, pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at JerryVane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.